tonight, the deadly tornado outbreak. More than 30 reported tornadoes. We're live on the scene at this hour, and the system now moving across the Northeast. This evening, two people killed when a confirmed EF2 touchdown. Winds up to 120 miles per hour. Search and rescue teams going door to door looking for possible victims. The twisters hitting several states. And in the Northeast tonight, heavy rain and strong winds from New York City to Boston. Rob Marciano is live. Tonight, will the rail strike be averted here in the U.S.? Congress taking action. Tonight, House Democrats and Republicans voting to force workers to accept a tentative deal. So what next from the Senate, with questions still remaining over sick leave? Rachel Scott live on the Hill for us. The emotional plea tonight, and you'll see it, from a family urging parents across this country to know who your children are talking to. Chilling new details tonight. The former Virginia State Trooper, who allegedly posed as a teenager and drove across country to pick up a teenage daughter. Police say killing the family and burning the home, and what he allegedly did to that family. Matt Gutman reporting. Tonight, the new images coming in, the volcanic eruption on the Big Island of Hawaii, and now the real concern tonight over the main highway there. Mola Lenghi reporting. The terrifying moments for police, their body camera video after a deadly shootout while searching for a suspect. The startling moment he's found hiding under the mattress, opening fire on the officers. Tonight, we have important news on Alzheimer's, a new drug, and results coming in from patient trials in the early stages and what researchers are seeing already. This is promising, so will the FDA act and when? Prince William and Princess Catherine here in the U.S. tonight amid the headline back home in London at Buckingham Palace. The resignation tonight, what a guest, was repeatedly asked. And back here at home, celebrating a beloved singer and songwriter behind some of the biggest hits of the 1970s. And the message just in tonight from Stevie Nicks.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the deadly tornado outbreak. More than 30 reported tornadoes already tonight. 11 of those tornadoes confirmed in just the past 24 hours, many hitting during the night. A mother and her 8-year-old son did not survive. This tornado right here, one of the ominous sights seen over Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, many more spinning up after dark. Families sorting through the damage of their homes in Lowndes County, Mississippi today. Rescue teams still going door to door. An EF2 tornado with 120-mile-an-hour winds shattering the Flatwood community. This is Montgomery County, Alabama, you're looking at, where that mother and young son were killed. The father, we're told, survived, but was then rushed to the hospital. And in eastern Alabama tonight, many families are homeless after a tornado made a direct hit on their apartment building. At this hour, heavy rains and strong winds now from New York City to Boston from this system. But first, the damage from these tornadoes. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off tonight from Alabama.
Tonight, the system that spawned nocturnal twisters across three states is on the move.
I'm right inside the circulation.
More than 30 reported tornadoes in all. In Caldwell Parish, Louisiana, flashlights piercing the darkness as they desperately search for survivors, at least two injured there. In Alabama, just after 3:15 in the morning.
It's rapidly moving eastward. So Wetumpka, you need to be in your safe place. You got this storm approaching from the west.
An EF2 tornado, winds up to 120 miles per hour, touching down north of Montgomery, sending trees crashing into homes, ripping apart others, debris hanging from utility poles. This is what's left of a community center.
Tragically, that twister killing a mother and her 8-year-old son, a relative identifying them as Chiquita Broadnax and Sedarius Tell. The boy's father rushed to the hospital.
I think the tornado really just came very, very quickly in this case.
In Utah, Alabama, a different twister making a direct hit on this apartment complex.
Look at all this building material, just everywhere. Up there, a 4x8 piece of plywood impaled on that tree. This is where kids would normally be playing. But the walls and roof of those bedrooms blown out. Amazingly, no one here seriously hurt.
Kathleen Jones rode out the storm here with her three kids.
So it came through, you heard it,
My apartment just was shaking.
What'd you do with your kids at that point?
All I could do was just grab them up. And we all went into the closet, and I just told them to cover their heads. And all I was just saying, well, God, please help her. That's it. All I could do was just call on Jesus.
Their home now condemned.
It was just incredible. You could hear the alarm still going off behind those interviews you were conducting there, Rob. The damage obviously widespread behind you across multiple states tonight, and this system now moving into the east.
Yeah, David, this is the front of that now condemned apartment building, one of 10 confirmed EF1 or higher tornadoes that took a direct hit across parts of the south. That threat now finally winding down, as is the wind threat here, but now it's in the northeast, as you mentioned. Wind, rain, a messy day there, air travel delays, difficult driving on the roadways. You see the radar. It is pushing off to the east, but it'll be several hours before it does so. The wind is not going to calm down tomorrow. Wind advisories and high wind warnings posted for much of the northeast. Could see them gust to 50 miles an hour. And look at that, this lake effect snow machine back in action. Warnings are up north of Syracuse. Could see over a foot of snow there. A couple of days of rest, but the next storm is already pounding the Pacific Northwest tonight with heavy rain, wind, and snow there. Winter storm warnings are posted for the Cascades down through the Sierras. I think we'll see stormy conditions all the way down to Southern California, 1 to 3 feet of snow in parts of the upper elevations. This storm as well will go coast to coast. David?
All right, Rob Marciano tonight. We're thinking about all those families in the storm zone. Thank you, Rob. In the meantime, we're also following new developments tonight in the race to try to avert a crippling rail strike here in the U.S. Tonight, Democrats and Republicans in the House voting to enforce the tentative contract. So what now from the Senate amid questions still about sick days? Rachel Scott with late developments from the Hill tonight.
Tonight, in a bipartisan vote, Congress taking the first step to avoid a catastrophic shutdown of the nation's railroads.
The joint resolution is passed.
The House passing a bill to prevent a rail strike, forcing workers to accept a tentative deal reached earlier this year and avert a shutdown that could cost the economy up to $2 billion a day, driving up the cost of everything from gas to groceries during the holiday season.
A shutdown would grind our economy to a halt and every family would feel the strain.
Under the Constitution, Congress has the power to intervene in matters regarding interstate commerce and the national economy. But the move is controversial. While the deal would give rail workers their biggest raise in decades, it only includes one additional day of paid leave, and some unions are calling for more.
I think some guys are upset that Congress isn't letting this process play out.
Jacob Forsgren is a track welder in Lincoln, Nebraska, and a member of one of the four unions that did not sign on to the deal. He is homesick with the flu and hopes his manager will approve his vacation time. Otherwise, he says he doesn't get a paycheck.
We absolutely do not have sick leave right now.
Today, the House passed a separate measure to grant workers 7 guaranteed days of paid sick leave. But only 3 Republicans supported it, and all of it could face more roadblocks in the Senate.
Why should the federal government force a contract on workers that they have explicitly rejected, force this on them, and they don't have any say on it? That just seems wrong to me.
Tonight, the president insisting the Senate must move quickly and send a bill to my desk immediately.
Leader Schumer, are you confident that a rail strike will be averted?
We're working hard to get something done and to try to get it done as quickly as possible.
All right, that late word from the Senate tonight. Let's get Rachel Scott live on the Hill. And Rachel, the White House press secretary today saying the president has been clear on this, that he believes Congress must send legislation to avert this strike to his desk by the weekend, with or without this additional sick leave bill.
With or without it, David, the White House says that the president, of course, supports paid sick leave for all Americans, including rail workers, but he does not support anything that would delay this bill getting to his desk as quickly as possible. The White House noting that the cost of inaction is just so high here that it could have a potentially damaging impact on American families, David.
And Rachel, while we have you tonight, the other headline from the Hill, history made today. We know Democrats electing their party's leaders for the next Congress, officially naming Congressman Hakeem Jeffries of New York to succeed Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, David, and Congressman Jeffries, now the first black lawmaker to lead a party of Congress. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi officially passing that torch. In a statement, she says this new generation of leaders reflects the diversity of our great nation, David.
Rachel Scott, live up on the Hill tonight. Rachel, thank you. Also from Capitol Hill tonight, the House and Ways Means Committee has now received former President Trump's tax returns. The Treasury Department turning the documents over a week after the Supreme Court refused to step in to block the move. It is not yet clear whether the committee will make any of the information public or what lawmakers plan to do with Trump's tax records. We turn now to that emotional plea tonight from a family urging parents to know who your children are making contact with online. Amid chilling new details, the former Virginia State Trooper who allegedly posed as a teenager and then drove across country to pick up a teenage daughter. Police say killing the family and burning the home. And Matt Gutman tonight on what that former trooper allegedly did to that family.
Tonight, family members pleading with parents across this country to know who their children are talking to online.
Parents, please, please know your child's online activity. Ask questions about what they are doing and whom they are talking to. Anybody can say they're someone else, and you could be in this situation.
That is authorities in Riverside, California, revealing more about the former Virginia State Trooper who allegedly posed as a teenage boy driving cross-country to meet a 15-year-old girl in person, then allegedly killing three members of the girl's family and setting fire to the house.
When I had arrived at my house, we had learned that something more tragic had happened.
Police say the bodies of the girl's mother and grandparents were found in their burning home, their hands heavily duct taped behind their back. The 28-year-old Edwards then drove off with that 15-year-old girl, leading police on a chase and a shootout. Tonight, an autopsy revealing he took his own life. The girl was unharmed.
David, she may have been physically unharmed, but that 15-year-old girl witnessed the deaths of four people in a short span of time, including her loved ones. Now, tonight, authorities say she is with Child Protective Services getting treatment for significant psychological trauma. David.
Just a horrific story all the way around, Matt Gutman. Thank you. Next tonight here, we have new images coming in from that volcanic eruption on the Big Island of Hawaii and very real concerns now about the main highway on the island. Lava gushing from Mauna Loa threatening to cut off that highway as authorities now warn about the potential health risks of dangerous volcanic smog. ABC's Mola Lenghi from Hawaii again tonight.
Tonight, lava from the Mauna Loa eruption is now threatening to cut off the main highway that runs across the middle of Hawaii's Big Island. Streams of molten rock from the world's largest active volcano are a little over 3 miles from the road.
This is the state highway, the main artery connecting the eastern and western ends of Hawaii's Big Island that is being threatened by Mauna Loa, likely in the direct path of the lava spewing from the volcano. Officials saying lava could reach the road in as fast as 2 days from now.
The lava is moving at less than a mile an hour, but authorities say it's too soon to know if it will cut across the critical route. State officials say they have a plan to close part of the highway if necessary, but that it would create major problems for residents and tourists who would have to find alternate ways around the island.
Well, David, the volcano could eventually threaten property and infrastructure, but right now air quality continues to be a top concern. You can see the plumes of toxic gas hovering over the volcano, and health experts say ash and sulfur dioxide from the eruption could continue to worsen air quality across the state as long as the eruption goes on, David.
All right, Mola Lenghi with us again tonight. Mola, thank you. In the meantime, overseas into China and to the protests against those strict COVID lockdowns, authorities now approaching people, searching their phones for apps that have been used to communicate with each other. Those apps banned in China. ABC's Bob Woodruff in Hong Kong tonight.
Tonight, anger boiling over in the streets, despite China's efforts to crack down on widespread protests over the country's extreme zero COVID policies. Chaos erupted as protesters throwing glass and hurling projectiles. Riot police in hazmat suits shielding themselves as they march in formation through the streets of Guangzhou, northwest of Hong Kong.
Here on the streets of Hong Kong, there have been these solidarity protests carried out by students carrying these white blank pieces of paper demonstrating against censorship.
In Shanghai, officers patrolling the same areas where protests erupted stopped people on the street looking through their phones for foreign apps like Twitter and Instagram that are banned in China, demanding they delete any images of the rallies. All this amid news tonight that China's former president Jiang Zemin, who helped modernize the country's economy in the 1990s, has died. The question now, will his death become a rally cry for renewed protests?
Now, China has been trying to stop these COVID cases for almost 3 years now, but this week they hit the highest number of more than 40,000 daily cases. Despite this, today Chinese health officials appeared to be softening their tone, urging local governments to avoid lengthy lockdowns. David.
We'll be watching and waiting to see here. Bob Woodruff tonight. Thank you. Back here at home, Prince William and Princess Catherine here in the U.S. tonight, the first royal visit since the death of Queen Elizabeth, but their arrival overshadowed by the headline back in London tonight at Buckingham Palace, the resignation after what a guest was repeatedly asked. ABC's Trevor Ault from Boston.
Tonight, the Prince and Princess of Wales touching down in Boston, the first visit by a royal to the U.S. since the death of Queen Elizabeth. They're here on a 3-day trip leading up to the ceremony for the Earthshot Prize, an organization founded by William, championing climate activists and environmentalism.
Catherine and I firmly believe
that we all have it in ourselves to achieve great things, and that human beings have the ability to lead, innovate, and problem solve.
But controversy back in England is already overshadowing the trip. Lady Susan Hussey, the prince's godmother and longtime lady-in-waiting to the late Queen Elizabeth, resigning amid accusations of racism after what she repeatedly asked of a guest at Buckingham Palace. Ngozi Fulani, the founder of a woman's nonprofit and a black woman born in the UK, says Tuesday at the palace, Hussey repeatedly asked her where she was really from, implying because she was black, she wasn't really British.
And David, Prince William's spokesperson condemned Hussey's remarks and said it was right she stepped away from her position immediately. And David, separately, we've learned President Biden will be here in Boston on Friday, and he'll be meeting with the prince and princess. David.
Trevor Rall tonight. Trevor, thank you. When we come back here, terrifying moments for police, their body camera video revealing the startling moment a suspect is found hiding under a mattress, opening fire on officers. We also have news tonight about a promising new drug in the fight against Alzheimer's in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, authorities in Oklahoma City releasing chilling body camera video of a disturbing and deadly police shooting. Police searching for a suspect hiding in his home. This was earlier this month when an officer lifts up that mattress, the suspect right there raising his gun, opening fire on the officers. Officers returning fire.
I'm hit.
You can hear one of the officers hit in the face by debris. The suspect was shot and killed. Now to the ABC News one-on-one interview with Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of the now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX, sitting down with George Stephanopoulos amid multiple allegations of fraud against him.
This is really a yes or no question.
Yep.
Carolyn Ellison says you knew that FTX funds were being funneled to Alameda. Did you know that?
I knew that there is an open margin position there and that that involved...
I know, but that's not what I'm asking.
I didn't know that there was something beyond a, you know, large, I believed, over-collateralized margin position on FTX. It was only in the last month that I put together the magnitudes of everything and that I fully understood the, you know, fiat transfer mechanisms that had been happening. I wish I'd known it a lot better than I had before.
So if she's in court and you're in court and she's under oath and you're under oath and you're asked, did you know that these funds were being funneled to Alameda, what is your answer?
I did not know that there is any improper use of customer funds.
Going to be a lot of eyes on this. Much more of George's interview first thing in the morning on GMA. Now to your health tonight and a promising new drug that could help fight Alzheimer's disease, lecanemab, reducing cognitive decline by 27% for patients in the early stages of the disease. Drug removing abnormal protein in the brain, researchers say. There are some side effects they're watching. The drug may increase the risk of brain swelling and small brain bleeds in some patients. The FDA is expected to make a decision on possible approval early next year. We have more on our website. Finally tonight here, we remember a beloved singer and songwriter, Fleetwood Mac's Christine McPhee.
If your life was bad,
Fleetwood Mac provided the soundtrack for a generation. Christine McVie was their most prolific songwriter. She wrote so many hits, including Don't Stop. Everywhere. She wrote Hold Me. And Little Lies. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Born in England in 1943, the daughter of a music teacher, in 1970 she joined Fleetwood Mac after marrying its bass guitarist, John McVie. The band would sell more than 100 million records. McVie, part of 5 gold, 1 platinum, and 7 multi-platinum albums. When the rain washes, he'll clean you up. In 1977, their biggest album, Rumors. Some of the songs, the lyrics, famously about the band's internal struggles. There was Dreams. Two of the couples, including Christine and John McVie, would separate. And Christine would write, Go Your Own Way. You can go your own way. Go your own way. You Make Love and Fun. You make love and fun. Tonight, Christine McVie's family writing, she passed away peacefully at the hospital this morning in the company of her family, asking for everyone to keep Christine in their hearts and to remember the life of an incredible human being and revered musician who was loved. And tonight, Stevie Nicks posting this photo of the two together and a handwritten note, ending with, See you on the other side, my love. Don't forget me. Always, Stevie. Falling, falling. And the band saying tonight that she was the best musician, the best friend. We were so lucky to have a life with her. Good night.